It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and this week I'm here to talk some Big Brother with you on robiswebsite.com. Today, I am joined once again by the crew that swept the nation this past summer, and they're going to be sweeping the Great White North in a few weeks, really, with Big Brother Canada 4 starting up. It's the Rob Has a Podcast live feed correspondents. They're here with me once again for a very special podcast. Guys, how are you doing?
Great, JP. Nice to see you again.
It's great to see you too, Brent. And it's great to see your new haircut. It looks very nice on you.
Don Meehan approves of this. Thank you.
Yeah, if you want to see Brent's new haircut, you can check that out on the video version of this podcast. It'll be posted to the Reality TV Rehapups page on YouTube. Alex, looks like you got some new headphones as well.
Yeah, but you're not noticing my new haircut?
Oh, no. Wow.
It looks compliments?
Great on you. Yeah, it looks great on you, Alex. I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I worked hard on it. Self-styled. Right,
and we're recording this live on Blab. It is Saturday, January 23rd. There is a massive snowstorm that is sweeping the United States currently right now, more so, I guess, like Midwest and the East. But for some reason in Boston, it's completely left untouched and it's very nice. So, Taryn, are you happy about this, that you're safe from the storm?
I'm very happy. I mean, Boston is usually the place that gets hit the most. And we thought we were going to get hit. But now I'm talking about the weather, and nobody really is interested in the weather that much. What really they're interested in is how I've gone mad with power. In preparation for this podcast, I'm ready to put together my masterpiece, my Frankenstein. Can you explain what the podcast is about, Jordan?
Yes, I will. And that's Taryn led into it. We are building today the perfect Big Brother player. That is the theme of this podcast for today's episode. And essentially, we're building a Big Brother Frankenstein. We're going to be using spare parts and skills from various other Big Brother players to build the perfect Big Brother player. So it was an idea that Alex Kidwell gave to me. So Alex, thank you very much for throwing that out. Initially, you were saying we could just go with the limbs of particular house guests. But why did we decide to go against that, Alex?
I think it makes more sense to do what we did, which is kind of really try to, you know, quantify things more specifically. You know, I do kind of like the idea of like piecing together like a leg from Janelle and a leg from Rachel and like doing something there, but I think it makes more sense to talk about it in terms of like, you know, you get a body and that's like the physical component, and then, you know, organs can be various, like, you know, other parts, or like, you know, within the brain you've got kind of different abilities that we quantify as being like good Big Brother, you know, I guess you would call traits. I don't know what else you'd say, but things you're looking for traits from a good player. Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially that's what we're going with. And in order to make things interesting, I mean, because I'm sure a lot of people see, okay, well, make the perfect Big Brother player. Well, they'll say, oh, well, Dr. Will, or, you know, if you ask Taryn, Dan, or Derek, or whomever you may think of, we're not going to go with the prime time players, if you will. We're going to go with some people that are not at the forefront of everyone's minds when it comes to the best players of all time. So what we did was we are taking traits from house guests that did not finish in our top five in either of our ranking shows we did with players. So if somebody made the top five for our best winners, they are not eligible to be included. And that also goes for the top five of the best Big Brother players to never win. So Brent, do you know who those are off the top of your head for those people who were not, who did not listen to those shows?
But I can tell you, if you just give me 1 second, it was Daniel Reyes, Eric Stein, Vanessa, Jason Guy, and Shelley Moore. I have that right here, actually. And then, yes, of course, our top five winners were Dan, Derek, Will, Andy, and Maggie.
Yes. So those five people, sorry, those 10 players will be left off of, they'll be left out of the discussion for today because they're already pretty good. We're coming together. We're getting stuff that, you know, maybe these people weren't the best
spare parts
the game, or they weren't the best players. And we are going to have some really good players skills that we're taking here, but not the, you know, impeccable players, if you will. So, Taryn, let's talk about the categories that we're using today and why exactly we went with these in particular.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I will say I was in New Orleans when we were talking about this, and I slightly misunderstood what you meant by top five. I picked I saw that as nobody who finished in the top five of their season.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
So all of my players are people who finished below the top five.
I like that, though.
Well, that's actually good because that'll, you know, initially what we were going to do was me, you, and Alex are going to do this because we assumed it's on a Saturday. Brent has work. He's not going to be able to do it. And I thought last minute, you know what, why don't I just check with Brent? And sure enough, Brent was able to do it. So that's good because you're going to have probably some different picks than the three of us. So but beyond that, where Taryn's got his own philosophy for this, the closer's taken over this podcast. What were the traits and skills that in particular that we decided to land on for this Frankenstein that we're building?
Right. And that's another interesting thing about doing this is we're kind of talking about also this, the skills that you need to be a good Big Brother player. the kind of the different aspects that go into a successful person in Big Brother. The first one would be, you know, competition ability. So, you know, your ability to win competitions, basically that kind of serves as the body. And I think that also incorporates, you know, your mind in the way that lots of the competitions are mental, especially toward the end of the game. Then we have your tactical ability. This is your maneuvering, your positioning. What's the right move? Where do the numbers go? That sort of thing. Then we've got awareness. This is like awareness of what's happening in the house, making sure that you know everything that's going on. Nothing's going to surprise you. And also you have to be self-aware in order to have some awareness. Then kind of personality, likability kind of mixture. This is basically how do people see you? Do they like you? Do they think you're threatening? Do they think can they respect you? Stuff like that. Then social ability. This is, how well do you get along with people? Can you get along with all sorts of different people? Do they want to work with you because they like you? Can you amass a kind of following because you can socially maneuver through places? And then finally, manipulation. How can you effectively pull moves off? How can you trick people into doing things or even just convince them into doing things that you want to do? So somebody can be aware, but with no manipulation skills to do anything about it. Something like that. So those are the six categories.
Six.
Yes, that we've come up with. And I think it's gonna be good.
Yeah, I think this is gonna be a fun podcast, should be good. We have and again, to just remind you guys, we are doing this live on Blab. So if you got comments and questions throughout the show, feel free to leave them in the chat and type in /Q. Jorge Alvarado says, this reminds me of that weird best survivor composite they had in the reunion of heroes versus villains. And that's actually kind of what it is that we are doing a little bit here. So should be a fun podcast. I'm excited to see what we come up with and to see where you guys were thinking with these traits and these skills, because for the first time before a podcast, I actually have not seen what your answers are. So I don't know, because we're not doing a rank, I didn't need to see what you guys thought of. So this should be very fun to see if we were similar, if we were way different, to see us debate. It's going to be great. I'm very pumped and excited. Let's get into the first one. Brent, let's throw it to you. Tactical ability. Who came to mind for you?
Well, I'm certain that I'm not going to match Taryn on this one, and I just want to say, as a preference to all the other things that I did, that this was the only person that I picked that ended up being a winner of their season. But I really have to say that I have never seen someone be so tactically savvy as Steve Moses from Big Brother 17. He always knew when to hold back and when to play his hand, so to speak. I felt like he was positionally correct nearly every time throughout the duration of the game. I felt like, ironically, the only time he was really in danger was the first week and the last week of the game. But everything else in the middle, he was set. And he was able to clearly articulate and execute his plan by saying that I know that I want to be at the bottom of an alliance. I've never heard anybody say that out loud anyway. But he did so in a way that made sense to me because he knew that if his alliance was in power, he would be safe. If his alliance was not in power, the opposing alliance, there didn't turn out to be much of one in Big Brother 17, but I digress. They would have gone after the people who were in control of his alliance and not him. So I felt like positionally, he was savvy. Tactically, I felt like he knew when to pull back, as in we saw him during the second double eviction. Everybody, including Rob, is screaming at the television to tell him to evict Julia when, you know, one of the Oss twins is on the block. And yet Steve correctly deduces that that is not the correct play. And I gave him props for that in the podcast. So I couldn't find a bad thing about his game, tactically speaking, other than at the end, he got himself into a position where he had to win and did so. But good on him for doing that.
Okay, Steve Moses. That's actually a really interesting one. That's not somebody who that came to the forefront of my thoughts, but I totally hear exactly what you're saying there, Brent, and it makes sense. Alex, what do you have to say about that? And who do you have someone you think was more tactical that we could use for our Frankenstein than Steve?
I don't know if necessarily more tactical than Steve. I went with a non-winner, and I think that's just, you know, came down to me trying to, I guess I was thinking of, like, you know, winners are already good enough that, like, I didn't want to, like, peel parts off of them. You know what I mean? Like, right. So I didn't go that route. But no, I think Steve's a perfectly, perfectly good choice. I went with Matt Hoffman. And I think, you know, he just missed our top five. He cracked my top five. So maybe it's a little bit of a cop out of the best players never to win. But yeah, I think Matt's another player that certainly demonstrated, if he demonstrated any weaknesses, it wasn't with tactics. It was with some other things. You know what I mean? I think maybe you could argue that he had some missteps in terms of, you know, maybe putting Kathy up there. But I think all in all, you know, the tactics of the season that, you know, the winners were employing were mostly Matt's. I think, you know, he's somebody that clearly gets the game and is a strong kind of tactical player that didn't make the very top of our list.
And for me too, Alex, I'm 100% with you. Matt Hoffman was the first name that I thought of because just him creating the brigade, him having this idea in his head, how, and then tactically running through the game and essentially, you know, running into a T so well that he was willing to go down with the ship because he believed in it so much. The problem was Matt lacked the awareness and he also had a lot of hubris. And I think that's kind of what screwed him over. But just thinking of it, like how he had the whole strategy set up and everything in his mind, he really played it out exactly how he wanted it to, which led Hayden Moss to ultimately win Big Brother 12. Who knows if he would have done that without that brigade being set up for him. Karen, you went off the board with a lot of these because you went completely. Although Matt Hoffman could fit in your list.
And
did not finish in the top
five. He almost did. It came down to this person and Matt. And I don't know, Brent, why you think that I would disagree with Steve. I am a big proponent of Steve's game.
Oh, well, I knew you didn't pick any top five people.
Okay.
Or people who finished in the top five. So I knew I wasn't going to match you. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But yeah, I think Steve is a good choice. Kind of an unconventional choice, and I like it because he wasn't in a position to do a lot of power moves, but from the position he was in, outside of his tactical ability, he was always making the correct tactical move. You know, he has that one mistake where he throws that the veto competition. Apart from that, he's almost always making the right decision to further his game. Matt, same thing. I think he did a really good job. The things that pulled Matt down for me were the little eccentricities in his tactical game where, you know, he thought it would be a good idea to say to Rachel, put me up on the block and, stuff like that made people distrust him and ultimately, you know, kind of cost him a lot of social capital in the game. But as a whole, very good. I went with somebody who I think doesn't have a lot of skills outside of this ability, this tactical stuff. And I'm not a fan of her game as a whole, but I couldn't find anybody else who was not in a top five of the season. So I went with Amanda Zuckerman.
That's a great pick. I was thinking about Amanda. I like that a lot.
So I think socially she wasn't very good. I think her personality is always going to get her in trouble. Manipulation wise, she was okay. But tactically she was very good. And, her awareness also, Andy had her completely snowed, but, tactically she was the one who really figured out we should use this MVP twist, and weaponize it. She gathered these forces, to counteract the moving company. She really ran the game for a long time. I don't think she's a great player, but, as far as the tactical ability goes, she really knew, how to strike first, how to make sure she had the numbers. If it wasn't for Andy being a lot better than her, I think she could have gone further. I don't know if she can win, but I think tactically she's very good.
Amanda's a really interesting one, and I think we can all co-sign that just based on your reactions. Brent, what do you think about that?
Ironically, I have Amanda somewhere else on my list, but I do like the choice of Amanda here. I think that she knew where all the pieces on the game board were most of the time and knew when to make the move, I felt like. Again, with the MVP twist, I like her methods as far as taking down the moving company. I would say tactically she was good from the perspective of people feared her, I feel like, at some point during the game.
Yep.
And I don't know if necessarily that falls under tactics. Maybe it's under skills and manipulation. But that counts for a lot with me. I mean, she ruled that game for a large part of it. And I feel like a lot of that was to do with her ability to tactically be correct for she knew when to take a shot at Helen, for instance.
Yeah,
she, you know, they were working together for the longest time, and then she knew when to cut bait. And I feel like she's a great choice.
All right, and this is gonna be tough picking because we don't have, I mean, we I don't know how we're gonna decide amongst these people. It's gonna be really interesting. I think we should kind of throw this to the chat. I don't know what you guys think about that and let the chat decide. We should probably nail it down to two, though, so that way it's a little bit easier. Otherwise, it's going to be a little difficult to follow there. Let's go around the horn. Let's say who you're voting for, and then afterwards we will discuss it. Power of Nito saying what my choice is. Matt Hoffman was my leading choice. So I guess we can just go with, we'll just cut one out. So Brent, this will be actually be more fun. Vote one of these three out of our being our Frankenstein. Who do you not want to be our Frankenstein? Amanda, Matt Hoffman, or Steve Moses?
Oh gosh. I'm going to vote Matt out. I've never been a big fan of his game, and I know you guys are, so I feel like that's not fair to give it to me. I mean, if you're asking me to vote somebody out, that's the guy I'm going to pick because no. I respect Amanda and Steve's game so much more than Matt.
Okay. We'll go around the horn, though. So you're voting out Matt Hoffman. Alex, who are you voting out?
Yeah.
I don't want to vote any of them out. Why are we doing it this way? I guess Steve, because he won. Because
it's my podcast, Alex. That's why we're doing it this way.
Fine. I'm not complaining.
I'm just bugging it. If you got a better way to do it, you got a better way. I just think otherwise we're going to be here twirling our thumbs, yelling at each other for three hours. And
no, it's a good way.
Right?
I think, I mean, it's a tough one for me. And Matt was my second choice, but I wasn't considering winners or anybody that came close to winning. So I think I might actually vote Matt out. I think Matt made more mistakes than Steve did tactically.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, so Alex, I think we're being ganged up on here. We got another. Do we go with the numbers or do we go to rocks? What do we do?
I never go to rocks.
You never go to rocks. No, so you're voting.
I'm jumping ship. Yeah, sorry, Matt.
Peace. All right. Okay. So there we go. So
I did all I could.
Who do we want? What do we want? Do we want Amanda's tactical ability, or do we want Steve Moses' tactical ability? We will leave it to the chat. So you guys in the chat for the next like 10 seconds, fire away who you want, and we'll see what you guys say.
Oh, man, this is really
and
split.
This is not working as well as I thought.
What if one of us posts Steve and one of us posts Amanda, and then however many hearts they get?
So oh, like, yeah, that's actually a good strategy.
Amanda, so Steve. Let's. So heart my comment for who you vote for.
Or yes, star, heart if you like Amanda and heart if you like Steve. This is going to be making for some great podcasting right now. It's really dead even though. This is very close.
Oh, and, wow.
It's interesting crazy. Because do we want to go with somebody who because, I mean, Steve did win, and we saw, really, he wasn't as aggressive as Amanda, but he came into the game with an idea and a strategy of what he wanted to do, and he implemented it, really, to a T, and led to him winning. Amanda, not as much, but she was just so aggressive and so dominant early on that she, I mean, you can't fault her as well. She was really, really strong tactically. If we look at it right now, Steve is the winner. With 9-6, those are the votes. So let's go with Steve Moses because Brent said he has Amanda for something else later. So Steve Moses, we're going. Steve Moses is the first part of our Big Brother Frankenstein. So this should be interesting. I'm already picturing what this thing is going to look like at the end. So Steve Moses, first off the board for tactical ability. General awareness is up next. Alex, let me throw it to you. What did you keep in mind when you were thinking of somebody with general awareness that you wanted to use for this Frankenstein that we're building?
You know, when I think of general awareness, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is like no one that got blindsided. You know what I mean? Like, because you weren't aware if you got blindsided. So I think it needs to be someone that was like always had their finger on the pulse of the game. You know what I mean? Like when they went home, it was like they had no cards left to play, but they knew it was their time. You know what I mean? Like the kind of person that really, really understood everything about the inner workings of their house, even when they weren't in control of it. And to me, and I know I've already beat this drum, and you know, here we are again. I'm going to say Spencer Clausen. This is a
Spencer,
guy.
Wow. There we really go. All right.
Had a strong awareness of his house. He was one of the only people that had a relationship with Howard. He was, and then also had like connections, like on the far side with the, you know, like Judds and people. You know what I mean? Like he had connections all over the house, and he's someone that was able to really like overcome his own weaknesses with his main strength, which was his awareness and just general like chatability. You know what I mean? Just kind of relatability. And to me, that's like his glaring, glaring strength. Like he's so like, that's clearly the thing that he has. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't a lot of other things that really got Spencer to where he got after his game was kind of exposed, other than just his ability to relate to people and make them kind of, you know, see things from his perspective. And I think that takes just a general awareness to understand where you are in the game and where other people perceive you.
All right, Brent was yawning when Alex made that selection. So, Brent, why the yawns about Spencer, and why do you disagree with this?
Oh, it's nothing personal. I've just, again, it comes down to personal preference. I see nothing wrong with Spencer. I think I even said that on the original podcast that we did of best players never to win when you guys all ranked him and I had him off the board. It's just a personal preference of, you know, I feel like he was more of a piece being moved around the board by other people, whereas there are those on this panel who feel like Spencer was manipulating those people to move him around the board. So it's just all a matter of perspective of whether it's the chicken or the egg. I actually took someone who, believe it or not, was blindsided, but only at the very end. I took Diane Henry right here. For general awareness. Ooh. Mainly because I view general awareness as somebody who is, they are aware of their position in the game. They're aware of how other people view them, and they're aware how other people think they view them. And I feel like Diane fulfills all of those pretty well. It's true, she was blindsided at the end. So she, you know, she loses points for that. But I'll still take her general awareness over most of the other people who are currently on my board. I feel like she knew the game that was being played in Big Brother 5. She's never really in danger at all. She had a good awareness of where the pieces were on the board, and she knew when to move from side to side. So I feel like she was almost omniscient, except for the fact that she was blinded by love at the end. And of course, we've all been there. So, you know, I'm not going to really hold that against her. But I like Diane Henry in this spot.
All right. Diane, that's a good that's an interesting one. I like that one, though. Taryn, who for you, obviously you would not have Spencer because he finished third. But I imagine you probably you've probably got someone a little bit different. So I'm curious to hear what you have to say.
I considered Spencer because I think whether or not you agree that he actively manipulated his way to survive, I think he showed a remarkable level of awareness to stay alive. I dock him a little bit because ultimately he's kind of snowed by Andy. He was willing to take Andy to the end, and he would have been beaten. And he doesn't quite see how good Andy is. And Andy is great, so I don't dock him too much. And then Diane, I dock her even worse for Drew, you know, not being aware of, you know, his ultimate feelings toward her. But I think she's also a good choice. I think she was aware throughout the game of pretty much everything that was going on apart from Drew. I ultimately went, and it was hard to find somebody outside of the top five who was a very aware player, top five in each season. I went Jack Owens from Big Brother 4.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, Jack, all right. He was always aware of everything that was going on. Unfortunately, he never had the ability to do anything about it. He knew the sides. There were multiple times when people in his alliance were making decisions that were bad decisions, and he knew they were bad decisions. He couldn't talk him out of it. He knew what June was doing. He knew exactly what she was doing, couldn't do anything about it. He knew what Allison was doing, couldn't do anything about it. He wasn't blindsided when he went home. It was just a matter of, you know, the other side had won, and it was his time. I think he was a very aware player, but outside of his personality, which I think he's a very likable player, he didn't really have any of the other skills in order to succeed. But I think his awareness was top notch. And I think even though these two players I hadn't been able to choose before, I think I'd still choose Jack. I think that was his biggest strength.
No, that's a really good one. Jack, yeah, he was in a spot where he knew what was going on. He didn't have the relationships or the social capital to do anything about it. So that's kind of what hurt him ultimately. For me, the person that came to mind, I hate to make these people all winners, but for me, this one person really stood out for myself because of not just how he played on Big Brother 12, but also for how he played on Survivor. And I don't know if we can use this as canon, but Hayden Moss for me was somebody that really came to mind because when he was on Big Brother 12, he knew what was going on pretty much the entire time. He knew Matt was up to stuff. He knew that he couldn't really ultimately trust Matt, even though he probably could have trusted Matt. He just wanted to get rid of him before, you know, he got him. But he always kind of, everyone for whatever reason, just gave Hayden information. He knew what was up in Survivor, did a great job of recognizing his position when he was on the bottom, was able to convince Sierra Easton famously to go to Rocks because of it. So I don't know if we're using this as if that is canonical in the Big Brother universe, but I just think with what we saw from Hayden both times, he was somebody that really came to mind for me in terms of awareness because it was never really in doubt for him. He always really knew what was going on. So that's why I went with Hayden Moss. This one I think is going to be interesting. There's four really good candidates. Although I saw people in the chat ripping Brent because Diane Henry fell in love with a gay guy. So how can she be aware? What do you say? What do you say to that, Brent?
And he didn't know that he was gay at the time. He was still figuring it out.
So should we vote?
But I will take.
So it was a double bluff in terms of awareness,
right? Exactly. I'll vote Diane off this because I like Hayden and Jack more than I like Diane. Truthfully speaking, after listening to your arguments, I mean, I can be wrong. You know, I did this in like an hour because you just told me about it last night. So I mean, you know, Jack is a great pick, and I'd probably go with Jack myself. But I don't know.
Okay. All right. So Brent is putting his stamp of approval on Jack, but voting out Diane. Alex, after hearing what we all have to say, who do you think we should cut?
Who'd you have? I don't even remember who you said, Jordan. Who'd you just say? Oh, Hayden.
Okay. That's right. So the four people Hayden. We have. So we have. Thank you. Thank you for paying such close attention, Alex. It means so much to me that you just I got yeah, it. You know, it I spoke a minute ago and you completely forgot what I said.
I just blanked okay, for a moment.
So it's all good. To recap. Taryn suggested Jack Owens from Big Brother 4.
I like Jack.
Sixth place, just missed the cut. I suggested Hayden Moss, the winner of Big Brother 12. Brent suggested Diane Henry, third place from Big Brother 5. And you suggested Spencer Klassen, third place from Big Brother 15. I hope you would have remembered the Spencer part.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd cut Hayden and Diane. I think they both, just more for the reason that I think they both can be potentially put in another category where I think Spencer and Jack, like, this is their. Like, you know, this is their hit song. You know what I mean? Like, this is their one hit wonder right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
I think I would cut Diane and Spencer. I think Hayden was up there for me. The tiniest knock on Hayden is that he's probably not as aware as he should have been of how close Lane and Brittany were. Apart from that, I think he was very good. I still think I'd pick Jack over Hayden because Jack really had no business knowing what he did. He couldn't fit in with a lot of the people in his house, and he still was able to suss out everything that was going on. Hayden was in the middle of everything, and that's kind of why he was aware. Could he have been aware had he not been in the middle of everything? I'm not sure. I still think he's probably number two, but that would be my decision.
Right. It's like Hayden had social strength and awareness, whereas Jack just had awareness, I think, is like the way
that's a very solid, good distinction that you're making there. Okay. All right. So Hayden and Jack, I guess, are our two front runners. So chat, let's throw this out there. I'll do it this time, Taryn. Okay. Let me see. So Hayden, Jack, fire away, like the one that you want to support. And wow, Jack Owens. It looks like Jack Owens is overwhelmingly the favorite here. So we're going to go Jack Owens. He is the man we're using for general awareness. So look at that. So we have Steve Moses, who is, you know, really a very, very high IQ. He's applied to Yale for graduate school and all this kind of stuff. And we have an FBI agent for our awareness. So I think we're doing pretty good with our Frankenstein. So let's move on to number three on the list. And this is likability / personality. So this one for me, what I was thinking of was we're going to give our Frankenstein this person's voice and demeanor, if you will. So that is how we're going to determine, at least for me, that's what I thought of. When coming up with the overall likability and personality for our Frankenstein. Taryn, I know you're probably, you know, you're more of a cerebral guy. You're thinking like strategy, that kind of stuff, not necessarily like who's the most likable. So this will be interesting, but I want to hear whose voice and mannerisms and demeanor, that kind of stuff, the likability factor, who are you going with? Who are you putting your stamp of approval on?
This is probably the one that I mean, okay, so I should say what I had, but I think I'm going to change because I think there's the quintessential person that I left off the list. But my initial pick outside of the top five finishers was Shelley Poole from Big Brother 17. I think she had a great personality.
All right.
Everybody wanted to get along to get, you know, be friends with her. They didn't see her as particularly threatening for a long time. And she did really well. I think though that there are a lot better people, and some of the other people I considered, Kara from season 14, but she went out too early for me to really consider her. Hayden from Big Brother 16, I think had a great personality. Dominic from Big Brother 13, but ultimately I think the person for this, far and away is Hayden Moss. I think Hayden Moss has the perfect personality for Big Brother. He's so dull yet very likable. So non-threatening yet, you know, smart and he gets along with everybody. I think that Hayden is the quintessential archetype for the Lisa, the Drew kind of personality where they're just naturally going to do really well. You know, you might say Jordan, but I think Jordan's going to have a hard time getting the respect, in the jury. So I think Hayden is the top dog. Oh, and of course, I almost forgot to mention Jason is very closely number two. I think Jason also has the perfect personality.
Jason Roy, we're Jason talking.
Guy. Sorry.
Jason Guy. Okay.
But so he's in the top five of the other one, so.
Please.
Yes, so we cannot use Jason Guy because he finished in the top five of the best to never win. But yes, for me, Jason Guy would have been number one if we were allowed to do that. Or yeah, probably Jason Guy, but we cannot because of the restrictions we set for ourselves. Brent, what do you have to say to the Hayden Moss selection by Taryn?
Well, I'm sort of like maybe second guessing myself on this one, but like, I mean, I just looked at it. And there was only one name that came to mind when I thought of likability and personality. It has to be Brittany from Big Brother 12 and Big Brother 13, doesn't it? I mean, she was just so, like, she won America's heart, and I feel like she won the house's heart. I mean, there were people in there that genuinely liked her. I feel like she got voted off on both seasons, mainly by way of tactics, like, you know, you aren't in our alliance, you gotta go kind of thing, not because they really wanted her out of the house or anything like that. I feel like she was really easy to get along with. She was good at faking it, like she did with Rachel when Rachel caught her in the room and she was doing the hair extensions, and she played it off. And I mean, you know, it's not easy to do something like that because she was clearly making fun of her there. And you know, she does have a little bit of sass to her, so maybe that is a minus in this category. But you know, I like my sass when it comes to likability and personality. I feel like you have to, as a woman especially, I feel like you have to have a little bit in this game to go far, and she certainly has it.
I don't doubt that at all. And I think if we go with Brittany, we're going to have, in terms of just overall, our DRs for our Frankenstein are going to be phenomenal. I can't wait to see them if Brittany is the ultimate choice. Alex, where did you go with this one?
Yeah, I mean, Brittany Haynes is like the immediate name that came to mind for me too. And, you know, I decided to go with someone else ultimately just because I wanted to just mix it up. I felt like someone was going to have Brittany Shirley because I think that's a very solid choice. I went with Nicole Franzel from BB16. Ooh. I think she's someone that, you know, didn't demonstrate a whole lot in the game other than likability, but her likability got her pretty far. There really wasn't anyone that didn't necessarily want to work with Nicole. She was someone that just, you know, was very disarming in her just kind of girl next door, very innocent kind of sweetness. And I think that just by itself could be great when accompanied with a lot of other skills, like what we're doing here, putting together pieces, you know what I mean? By itself, it's not necessarily a super strong strength, but if you accompany it with the tactics and with the other stuff that maybe Nicole didn't have, then I think that's like a serious, serious strength.
Okay. Yeah. Nicole's an interesting one. She's somebody that I personally fell in love with. I don't know if she's the first name that would come to mind for me, but I get where you're coming from. For my selection, I had two names that immediately came to mind. One, I'm a little bit biased on because he helped make what should have been one of the worst days of my life one of the best days of my life, and that is Donnie Thompson. I think Donnie is the nicest guy ever. He's so kind, lovable, very likable, gets along with people very great. He's not gonna make fun of you or be mean to you. He's very, you know, he's just great. He's a great dude. So Donnie Thompson was one that I thought of. The other one, which I'm surprised none of you brought up, because she almost won the game two times because people, well, partially because she wasn't a threat, but also because she is just, you can't help but like her. She's so great. And that's Jordan Lloyd. I think Jordan from Big Brother 11, Big Brother 13. And no, I'm not saying her name just because we share the same first name. She's great. Jordan is awesome. I don't think I've never talked to anybody who's a fan of Big Brother that has said, hey, I don't like Jordan. And I haven't, you know, I haven't talked to people that have played with Jordan, but just seeing how people interact with her and talk to her, you know, and all this kind of stuff, just seeing her in the house, people loved her to death. She was, America fell in love with her for a reason. It wasn't just because of Big Jeff. It was because she wanted to be a squirrel because they can go in and run around in cities and stuff. Like, you know, Jordan is great. I think she's awesome. Very likable. So I think if I had to choose between two, I think I would put my stamp of approval on her. So I'm curious to see who you guys want to cut out of this group that we've come up with. We have Hayden Moss, Jordan Lloyd, Brittany Haynes, and Nicole Franzel. Brent, I'll throw the first vote to you again, my friend.
I'm cutting Hayden. I mean, we're talking about personality. I mean, I understand where Taryn's coming from purely from the perspective of he's dull enough to win the game, but I feel like you have to have a little bit more than what Hayden's got. I mean, when I think of personality, I do not think of Hayden freaking Moss.
But that's
like,
why
on.
He's
like,
so
come on.
Perfect.
Like,
it's so under the radar.
Stop.
But if we're talking, but there's another category, Taryn, there's another category that we can talk about in a little bit that
it's different.
Also works for Hayden. I would argue is even better for Hayden. And that is the social strength category, which we'll get to shortly. So I actually, I'm on Team Brent on this one. I think that, you know, in terms of just the person, I see where you come from. Hayden's great. But if I also had to vote someone out, I think Nicole and Hayden would probably be who I would vote out personally. Taryn, just a rebuttal to that?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Because I looked at this not just on likability. If it was just likability, I would say Jordan. But it's also just the personality as a whole. And it's something that you can't really do anything about. It's how other people perceive you. And a large part of personality is how often are you going to be targeted and how are you going to be respected by the jury? And I think Jordan is going to be targeted for being too likable. And I think she's not going to be respected by the jury as often as some other people. Kevin would have beaten her, for instance. Hayden, he's never targeted because he's too likable. We saw in Survivor, Caleb was targeted over him. But he's always going to be respected. He's going to win the jury vote if he gets to the end. He would have beaten either Enzo or Lane, probably. So I just see it as the perfect middle ground between likability, respectability, but not so much so that he's on anybody's radar to be targeted. I did consider Nicole. I thought that she was a good choice. But if I had to choose between Nicole and Jordan, I think
is there an answer in our future anytime soon?
I was rebutting. I was rebutting. I would choose Jordan over Nicole. So I would vote out Nicole and
Nicole.
The other one.
And Brittany.
Brittany makes too many enemies.
Oh wow. Okay. All right. There we go. Taryn throwing some shade. In response to what you said, let me just say this. I think if in terms of the respect factor, if we're building a Big Brother Frankenstein, that's the perfect player, and we're giving Jordan Lloyd's personality and likability and her voice, if we're giving her, you know, this tactical ability and this general awareness and this social strength and this competition prowess and all this other stuff, I think if she gets to the end against, you know, Kevin Campbell and these other people, she's going to win. So if we're just talking about who's the most strictly likable person, I think that we got to go with Jordan. That's personally what I'm looking at.
I do think that's a good argument.
If we're looking at Hayden versus Jordan, If we're looking at Hayden versus Jordan as is, yes, absolutely. Give me Hayden Moss. But if we're just taking this one trade out, this one thing, and pulling it out of them, give me Jordan Lloyd all day over Hayden. That's personally how I would look.
I do definitely see that argument. And that's why I think Jordan is probably a close second. But we saw Godfrey, who didn't have the respect factor. He had almost everything else, but didn't have the respect factor. And because of that, he lost a jury vote, even though he had a lot of those other things. He was good at competitions. He was great tactically. He was very, very good at manipulation, but the respect wasn't there, and he didn't even come close to winning that jury vote over Sarah.
Yeah, but I don't think Godfrey lost because he didn't have respect. I think the things that you're saying about, you know, his tactics and his strategy, I think the jury just didn't see that. I mean, it was there. We saw it, but I think the jury just could not see it. So I don't think he lost because of that. You know what I'm saying?
And I think if you give Godfrey all of these other things, then I think it's different. Also, and again, I hate to go on about my own season of Big Brother, Canada 3. You're not familiar. Godfrey, I think, was not as far away from winning as the vote made it seem. There were other mitigating factors that led Godfrey to get fewer votes. I think if it's Godfrey versus Ashley, I think it's a lot different. I think really what it came down to was Sarah Hanlon was just so well-liked by the jury, and that's really why. And there were other things in terms of people in the jury trying to convince us to vote for Godfrey that caused people to do the opposite thing and not vote for Godfrey that really caused that thing to happen. Before we move on, I think this is a good time to plug. Next week on the show, I've been trying to get him forever and find a spot for when to get him on the show. Godfrey Manguiza will be joining me for a one-on-one sit down. We will be talking about his game, what he's been up to in his life, and I'll be getting taking your questions, asking Godfrey for life advice and things in general. So if you want to tune in for that, that will be up on robzowebsite.com next week. Won't be a live show, but I will ask Godfrey there. I'll ask him that question, what he thinks went wrong and why he thinks the jury didn't see that for whatever reason. But enough talk about that. We've gone way off on a tangent. Alex, who are you voting out of this thing? And to recap, because you forgot after a minute last time, and it's probably been about 12 since it initially came up, my vote was for Jordan, Brent was for Brittany, you had Nicole Franzel, and Taryn had Hayden Moss.
Yeah, I would vote out Hayden and Brittany. Again, just because I think Jordan and Nicole are the best representatives of this and nothing else. And that's kind of what I've been leaning into.
I can go along with that.
So, okay. So we're going with Jordan and Brittany. Jordan and Hayden. Those are the people we're voting for.
Oh, Jordan and Nicole.
So, Nicole.
Right? Yeah.
Jordan and Nicole, right? Is who we're...
Who did you vote out, Jordan?
This is too messed up. Let's just go with Jordan and Nicole. I think that's fine. Can we all agree with that? The four of us.
I feel like Jordan is the obvious call here. I mean, like when you really break it down to like the winning,
you give her all those other skills. Like her personality has to remain unchanged, and I feel like she's never going to be able to like get respect despite what she does because of her personality.
Okay.
Well, the vote is up. All right. This should be interesting. Okay. Right now. Oh no. Oh, are we going to have a bit of an upset here? Nicole is your winner. So Alex Kidwell with the upset. Look at Alex with the win. Unbelievable. Unbelievable comeback by, oh my gosh, Alex Kidwell. He's got his championship robe on and everything.
I think I'm on board with, like, I talked myself out of Jordan again. I think Nicole has a kind of personality, like she has that kind of smartness to her that people would be able to respect more than Jordan. I think Nicole's the right choice.
I agree.
Fan KABBUS says, Nicole, what is wrong with you people? And I'm with you. I don't know how, Brett, how did we lose?
You guys
how
voted.
Did we lose?
I'm not sure how that happened. Yes. I feel like I was blindsided.
It's the silence.
I was totally
majority.
Blindsided. Again, blindsided. Jeez, this is what happens when you don't vote. This is, you know, if
these are the same people that are voting for Trump.
Yeah.
Exactly. U.S. presidential election is coming up soon. If something bad happens with the president and you didn't vote, you can't complain. So all of you people complaining, you should have voted. So Nicole Franzel, we're getting Nicole's voice, Nicole's mannerisms, and Nicole's personality for our Frankenstein. Okay. that went a lot longer than I expected it to. Okay, number four on the list. Social strength is coming up here. And I, for one, there's a few names that have already been mentioned that I'd be willing to use for this person, but I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say. Taryn, let's start it off with you. What did you have in mind in particular with social strength? Because I think with social game, people have some different definitions for that.
Yeah. So again, socially, what I'm talking about is like, these are the people who would have done really well in high school and they were the most popular person. They can get along with everybody, you know, get really personal with people. Everybody feels connected to them. Everybody feels safe with them. I think Andy Heron is the quintessential social person. We can't say him though, but I think he is the perfect example of what social ability is in Big Brother. Ultimately, I went with Roddy Mancuso from Big Brother 3. He was very popular. It was very hard for Danielle to take him out. He was the devil because everybody really loved him. Ultimately, I might change to Hayden Moss now that I can do Hayden. Again, I think Hayden is a very, very social person. I think I'll stay with Roddy, even though I think Hayden's probably a better choice, but maybe somebody else has Hayden.
I'm tired of talking about Hayden.
Exactly, yeah. And I think Roddy is, yeah, is more fun to talk about.
All right. So Roddy is Taryn's choice. So that's a good one. I like Roddy. I actually think I had Roddy in another category, but that's okay. We'll go with Roddy. I love me some Roddy Mancuso. Alex, who did you have for social strength? Who were you thinking of?
Man, this one's hard. Like, this is one of those that kind of like, you know, it's hard for me to like really separate social strength entirely from like the last two, I guess, because you need some awareness and you need some degree of personality to have a social game. So it was a little bit tricky for me to try to distinguish, but you know, I kind of get like what we're going for. You know, like ultimately, you know, there's several names that come up, but most of them I feel like are, you know, winners or people that were at the top of our, you know, like an Eric Stein, like people that were at the top of our other list. So it's hard for me. Ultimately, I guess I'm going to go with, man, see, yeah, it's just, I keep coming up with people that are like, you know, I guess I might go with like a,
Alex, come on, man.
I have Kevin Campbell, okay, but I don't know if I'm crazy
no,
about
that's
that.
Okay. Kevin Campbell is fine. I think Kevin works. Kevin played a good social game.
He definitely did. I feel like there's a name that I'm missing, but I feel like, you know, this is tough. I don't know.
It's okay. All right. Alex is having a tough time. He's going with Kevin Campbell, Brett Wolgamott's personal favorite Big Brother player of all time. Brett, yes. Let's throw it to you.
I have the missing name. The missing name is Enzo Palumbo. And it's so funny because someone said it in the chat right when I was getting ready to talk about it. Like, seriously, I mean, social strength, I feel like this is, I don't want to say it's no contest, but I feel like Enzo is one of the clear people you have to think about in this respect, because he was one of, as Taryn talked about previously on our Best Players to Never Win podcast, something that I forgot about Enzo was he was one of the main architects of the feeling of that season in the house about how they were all at summer camp, that there's not really a game going on. I mean, he just was able to almost by sheer will change the social dynamics of the house from a, you know, we're all just friends here having a good time, you know, it's us against the house, so to speak, especially with the saboteur in that season. I know they got the saboteur out during the first week, but then another saboteur came back and they were always thinking there was another saboteur anyway. So it was like, you know, it's us against them. I feel like he was really good at getting everybody to sort of follow his lead, so to speak. He was done in at the end, mainly because he couldn't really get into a good final two, but I feel like social strength wise, his social game with everybody liked him. I feel like they respected him enough to award him the money or possibly award him the money at the end. I feel like Enzo's a great choice here.
I like the Enzo, bringing up Enzo, someone else from Big Brother 12. I think that he definitely, his personality is a big strength. For me personally, I think one of the greatest social players of all time has got to be Eric Stein, because of his personality and the fact that he would also go out of his way to get to know people on a personal level and build strong bonds with each and every person in the house. not eligible for this one. Of course, I think Dan Gieseling's obviously another great one too. But if we're going with the criteria that we set up, I struggled as well. So Alex, apologies for making fun of you, because it's hard. It's tough to think of somebody who's not at the top of one of these things as somebody who's really strong socially or somebody who really stood out. For me, Lisa Donahue came to mind. I thought Lisa Donahue played a really strong social game. I think that she was somebody who was very well liked. She had a lot of different bonds with people in the house. So I thought that she was a really good player, and I think that that was a big factor in her winning the game, partially because people were upset with Danielle. But I think that she would do well in most jury votes just because of that alone. So if you put that with all these other characteristics of our Frankenstein that we're building, I think that she would do very well on one of these seasons. But this is tough. It's tough to pick one of these things because I don't think any of these people that we mentioned really stand out from the rest of the pack. And it's tough to point to one specific thing, that stands out about these people. I think it's hard because none of us actually played with all of these people. So it's hard to know without knowing these people on a personal level who exactly has the best social game. Would you agree with that, Taryn?
Yeah, and you know, nobody else mentioned Hayden. I think I have to switch to Hayden Moss because really, Hayden is the better version of Lisa, and Hayden out-social-gamed Enzo.
And timeout, Zach Morris style. Hayden Moss was also on my list. It was Hayden and Lisa, but I didn't want to mention Hayden because we mentioned him 8 times, and I figured that you probably would bring Hayden back up again. So thank you. Time in.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Hayden Moss show.
Know,
welcome.
But it's like, what do you want from me? Like, you know, I think Hayden did a better job of making connections on his season than Lisa did. And I think he clearly did a better job than Enzo, because Hayden is ultimately the one that almost everybody from Big Brother 12 names when they like, are you close to Hayden? Yes, we love Hayden. Hayden's the best. He got closer to Lane than Enzo did. He was closer to Matt than Enzo was. He had a better relationship with the rest of the house. You know, I'm really sorry that I'm mentioning him again, but I just, against these other players, I really think he stands out. And if we're trying to come up with the perfect one, I have to.
I think that's fair. And you know what? As much as people in the chat are saying, oh, Hayden, la, 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 I agree with you 100%. I think Hayden is probably of this field of people. We have to have Hayden Moss in our Frankenstein, I think, somehow. And I think that social strength is the best way to get him in there. But that's just my personal feeling. So I would vote out, I guess, to go around the horn, we had Kevin Campbell, Lisa Donahue, Hayden Moss, and Enzo Palumbo. I guess I would vote out Kevin Campbell. I don't know how Taryn, you co-sign that. Alex, I think even Alex might co-sign that because Alex wasn't even too sure when he made it.
No, I'd vote out the winners. I still maintain that, like, I don't want to pick apart winners if we don't have to, but that's a personal preference.
Enzo and who was the other person? Lisa. No, yeah. Lisa was the winner. Sorry.
Kevin. I'd take out Enzo and Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, so he wants to keep the winner.
Yeah, I want to keep the winner.
Well, the winners are the best. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Really, if we want to look at it like that. So Brent, what do you think? Where are you at?
I feel like it's.
Do we want to make it Enzo
versus
Hayden?
It's critical for me to say. Well, no. I'll make it Enzo versus Hayden. Sure. Yeah, that sounds fair with me. Enzo versus Hayden.
I think that'll make it.
Sounds good.
That'll make it interesting. You guys cool with that?
Just remember, guys, that Enzo out social gamed, or Hayden out social gamed Enzo in the end. So.
Yeah, you had it right the first time, actually.
Okay, go vote. Enzo versus Hayden. It's in the chat. Scroll up a little bit. Right now.
Yeah, see, they start talking and they can't get the star. Yeah. It goes by.
You have to let them get it out first and then.
Okay, so Enzo, Hayden, go vote.
So vote again right now.
Search right now. Go. Here we go.
There's still people.
That's okay. This is going a little better.
It cracks me up.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, this is close. Oh my gosh, it's making for great podcasting too for people in the audio archives. and I don't know if it's just despite Taryn or what, but
it's a lot of the A's.
We have admissions that they're doing it out of spite.
Yes, it's coming from Tyler Kakuno in the chat. He's saying, I'm doing it out of spite. Okay, hold on. Earlier in the chat, Netta Kalantar was here. So, Netta, if you're in the chat, we'll give you the tie-breaking vote. We'll let you decide. Netta, if you want to just pop up magically
trust,
in the chat. And
I trust Netta away. To make the right decision.
Netta is, you know, as they would say, Netta is queen. So Netta could, I think Netta can ultimately determine it. But if Netta doesn't show up, if she's left, then I believe we have a winner. And that is Enzo Palumbo. So there we go. Brent, you got your Ooh! Wish. So there we go. 11-9. Enzo is...
I hope you're happy with our Frankenstein strength. Not being able to make any intimate connections with any particular person.
Yeah, and that's actually another thing too. Is it's funny
he's
that
got Nicole Franzel in there,
but like, I guess, but like that's a good point. Is that all of the brigade had side alliances except Enzo, and I think
exactly.
Nicole has something to say about his social game. But we decided to leave it up to you. I was going to say America, but there are some Canadians and there's some people in Europe watching this, according to my little map that I have here, which is cool. So we left it up to you guys, and you guys went with Enzo. So
it's time for Blab's vote. Press one for.
Oh, well, that was a good. I like that, Alex. That's a good impression of doing the Big Brother man voice.
Thank you.
Okay, who would have thunk it? Alex can do the Big Brother voice, and he can do Jerry McDonald from BB10. Okay, number five on the list. Here we go. We got a vote. Guys. This is a little bit of a twist-o's twist. Netta Kalantar is still in the chat, and
I told you I could trust Netta.
Hayden.
That was like the people were walking out of the stadium by the time she voted. Come on. Like this is like
But they
sad.
Weren't gone. We hadn't started the next one.
Okay, so people are saying this is too late. No immunity
no,
idols.
They're also yeses. They're also yeses.
So people are saying bye, Netta. Oh my gosh, wow, Netta. Everyone's saying no. Okay, you know what? We gotta stick with what we said. I declared Enzo.
We're going against Netta.
Well,
I'm not okay with
Netta
this.
Didn't get it in time, unfortunately. You know, when Alex was doing the Big Brother voice, he was like, press one for this, but you only have till 9 p.m. Eastern to vote.
voting is closed.
Yes, voting was closed. Netta. Voting was closed. So, Netta, thank you for chiming in, but unfortunately, the vote is too late. Enzo is
standard
in.
Rates still apply.
It's okay. Me and Netta will have a separate Frankenstein that'll beat this Frankenstein.
Oh, that would be a fun podcast. Netta and Taryn make their own Frankenstein, and then we get like a Twitter to vote who's better, this Frankenstein or that Frankenstein in a season, and who would win. Okay, so Enzo Palumbo is our social strength. Manipulation skill is up next, coming in at number five. So let's go, Alex. Let me throw it to you because you didn't really have a ton to say on this last one. So manipulation, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts were and who came to mind for you in this category.
Okay, so again, yeah, this is another place where, you know, generally when you think of the best manipulators, I tend to look at, you know, people that we're trying to avoid for the purpose of this argument. So I generally think of, like, you know, Vanessa. I think of, you know, Dan, Will, you know, a lot of these people that we don't want to use. But here's a name of somebody who was very manipulative, you know, during their short stint on Big Brother. Someone that clearly showed that they had the ability to bamboozle a house, just maybe not the ability to maintain that bamboozle for very long. And that's Brian Hart.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going in a completely different direction with that
one. I knew exactly Brian where it was Hart. Going.
Alex, thank you, because for me and all of the other, you know, nerdy super fans out there who just love Brian Hart to death, I love this so much. I love Brian. This is great. I don't think we can choose him, but I think this is awesome. Explain why you went with Brian over a guy who was in the house for a week over somebody who lasted much longer than him.
Well, you know, again, I tried to approach this as, you know, I was trying to think of someone who best embodied this trait and only this trait. You know what I mean? That was kind of my thought process with all this. So as far as Brian goes, you know, you certainly can't argue that he had the awareness. I mean, you certainly can't argue that, you know, obviously his personality was good, you know, but not good enough to save him. Social strength, you know, he wasn't, you know, doing his rounds and wasn't able to maintain the manipulation that he established. But he established a strong manipulation in that first week whereby he had the house all playing to his drum for, you know, the first 6 days, and then it all kind of fell apart. But that, I would argue, that wasn't as a result of manipulation skill. That was as a result of the other areas which we're drawing from other people. So
I like using it. I don't know if everyone else is going to be a big fan if we choose Brian, but I love Brian Hart to death. I remember I've had many discussions in Jury House with my good pal Kevin Martin about how great Brian Hart was and how bad Ollie was from BB10. let's move on to the next one. Brent clearly was, based on the reaction you gave me, Brent, I don't think you were too enthused over the Brian Hart pick.
Well, I tried to pick somebody who's on the show for more than a minute. I mean, come on. Like, are we? This is insanity. What? I don't even recognize the three of you anymore. Like, Brian Hart? Like, I mean, come on.
I don't agree with Brian Hart. Come on.
Okay, no, for the record, I disagree with Brian, too. But if we were going to include him somewhere, I'm down with Alex including him here. So kudos to Alex. Thank you.
Okay, he doesn't belong anywhere else. I'll agree with
that. I want to remind people that, because I see people talking in the chat, Maggie and Shelly are not eligible, and Vanessa as well. They're not eligible for this part of because they were top five in our winner rankings, or they were top five in our best players to never win. So they are not eligible. The person I picked is, you might figure it out because I mentioned her previously in the podcast, and she sure as hell isn't going to win body. So it's Amanda Zuckerman. I love Amanda in this spot. I mean, manipulation and skill. It wasn't subtle. All right. I'll give you that. But it was sheer force of will that she got her way in that house. And I saw people making moves that maybe necessarily weren't even in their best interest. But they made them because they feared Amanda. And I feel like that she just has what it takes when it comes to this category. Like, that's what her game is based on, is manipulation skill when it comes to playing Big Brother, Amanda Zuckerman. I mean, I know there are some people who have said that she would be nothing without McCray. I don't co-sign that. I really do feel like that with her personality, I mean, she's a bulldog in the house. And like I said, she's not subtle, but I feel like she would find a way to get it done.
Amanda, again, I think is a great one. Amanda was on my list. And to what you said, Brent, I think that, you know, also McCray had this really great thing set up that could have been great, the moving company. But the reason why the moving company is not remembered as this great thing in large part is because of Amanda. Amanda convincing McCray to jump over with her. And then just from there, what she did, I think you can't deny it was impressive what she pulled off in that house. Taryn, who do you have under the manipulation category?
Okay, so I've been doing some quick recalculation because I originally had Shelley Moore because she wasn't in the top five placement, but she was in our top five.
Yes.
And then I was thinking quickly, Maggie? Nope, she was also in the top five.
Hayden?
Hey. Honestly, I heavily considered it, even though everybody would yell at me. But not Hayden. I reluctantly considered Amanda because I think that's probably a very good choice. Then June, maybe June, but not quite. I think the person who kind of outmanipulates June, even though June is a much better player, is Allison from that same season. I think Allison was the manipulator, even though she's, again, not nearly as good a player as June. She was great at manipulation. She manipulated Nathan into using the veto on her, and then turns around and stabs him in the back right away. She manipulates Justin. She manipulates pretty much everyone in the house at some point or another. She's basically the Russell Hance of Big Brother. Great at the manipulation, very good at the tactical, but you know, bad at everything else. So I'm gonna go with Allison.
I love the Allison pick. I think she did a really good job. And I think in differentiating that, that's a great distinction that you're making. Allison, definitely the better manipulator. June, the better player, probably better tactically, probably better in every single category.
Yeah, every other one, yeah.
Yes, but the manipulation, that's really where Allison, she really shone. Whew, this is a tough one for me. Well, first off, I'll go honorable mention because Alex is going with very obscure people for who were voted out very early. Give me first. This is not my actual pick, but somebody who I think garners mentioning, Audrey from Big Brother 17. I think Audrey, if it was for if the game was a week, I think Audrey maybe not so bad, not so bad. But for real though, no, not Audrey, not Audrey. But I just wanted to throw that out there on if we're going with that. Two names that came to mind for me. And you know what? One I'm going to save because I want to use this person for the body and argue for them to be in the body. So I'm going to go with somebody who Taryn would not have gone with because he did finish in the top five. And again, going with a winner that Alex might not approve of either. But how about Mike Boogie Mallon? I think that Mike Boogie, in terms of manipulation, I think that he is one of the best of all time. I think that what he did in Big Brother All-Stars was phenomenal, playing all sides of the house, convincing season six to go after floaters when really that was not in their best interest. You know, manipulating the Legion of Doom to work with them, manipulating Chicken George, using that coup d'etat as leverage, all that kind of stuff. I think Mike Boogie Mallon is definitely one of the best manipulators in the history of this game. And I think he definitely at least deserves some consideration for this category. I don't know what you guys think of that, but I just figured I would throw Mike out there.
Yeah, I considered Mike. But when I thought about it, when you think about his Big Brother 2 game, he was very ineffective. When you think about Big Brother 14, he was very ineffective. He really was only effective in Big Brother 7. And when I think about who did he actually manipulate, I come to Chicken George and Erica to some extent. So, you know, ultimately I wasn't too convinced. So I would vote out Mike and Brian.
Mike and Brian. Okay, that's Terrence.
I would vote out Mike and Brian as well.
Okay. Alex?
That's fine.
All right, Alex, fine. We don't fight back. We just fall on the sword and die. All right, fine. I see how it is. Okay. So all kidding aside. Okay. Amanda and Allison, Irwin, those are your wait, two. Wait, hold on. Am I getting my right, Allison?
Yeah. That's correct. I was wanting to let them talk for a second, and then you do the votes because they'll talk over the votes.
This will be around this, and see if we would have figured this out to begin with. This would have probably been the better format. But what I will do is I will mute. This is like I don't know if you guys are familiar with Around the Horn, but that's a show where they have four people talking, and then once like the final two gets to a certain point, they just debate each other, and the other two go on mute. So I'm going to mute myself and Alex. And Taryn, Brent, you guys can debate why you think Amanda – Brent, you can say why you think Amanda's better. Taryn, you can say why Allison is better, and then we'll vote. So.
I've as far as Amanda goes, I feel like that more people in the house would follow her as opposed to Allison. I feel like Allison she's off on her own reservation a lot of the time, I feel like. Yeah, she was able to manipulate Nathan, but I mean, who's that going to work on besides him? I feel like Amanda really has the weight of the house behind her more of the time than Allison would, and I feel like that's a testament to her manipulation skill.
Yeah, I do. I think they're pretty close. My problem with Amanda is that she really does use brute force tactics. And ultimately, that's only going to work up to a certain point, no matter what. I think I don't think you can run it to the end unless you have Eric Stein working for you to get to the end. I think that Allison is a bit more on surviving and manipulating individuals to further herself in the game. And ultimately, she is the one that ends up in the final two, even though obviously she doesn't win. So it's really the brute force of Amanda's tactics that I think, while effective in the short term, doesn't have the lasting effect as Allison's does.
Okay.
We're good.
All right, here we go. Let's do it. Voting time. Okay. Allison, Amanda, go favorite those comments in the chat, and whoever has the most will walk away as your winner. And right now, it's getting close. It's getting close. This is crazy. 10-9 is the vote. We'll give it five more seconds. Oh, it's tied.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. No. I don't know what just happened there. It was
lots of people changing their vote.
People are changing their vote. Oh my gosh. This is crazy.
It's tied 11-11.
Tied 11-11.
12-10, Amanda.
Oh my gosh. This is nuts. And I think we have a winner. Amanda Zuckerman
changing again.
Oh, now she just went down by two. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. Okay.
All right, stick with the one you voted for.
I will give it another 10 seconds, okay? And then we'll let you guys decide. But right now, it looks like we do have a win. Oh. Dead tie. Okay, you know what? Let's just, Alex, you know what? Since it's a tie,
yeah,
let's go. You and I will vote. How about we do that? How about that's fair? So, Alex, where's your head at? What are you thinking? Amanda, or are you thinking Allison?
Man, I could go either way. I really could.
All right, Jordan.
Okay, well, you know what? Alex, really fine. If you're gonna take the Kevin Campbell approach on this again, I don't know. I think listening to both the arguments, I think it's great. I think that you guys bring up some very valid points. But if we're just looking at specific instances, I think like Amanda would get by without the manipulation because of her tactics and her strategy and this other kind of stuff. And just the fact that she's so aggressive, Allison would not have gotten by without her manipulation. At least I don't think so. And she played those boys for fools in that house in BB4. So give me Allison. I like Allison. I think she's got to be your winner. If Alex is cool with that, unless you want to debate me, Alex, then we can do another thing and make this even longer.
No, I really think both are excellent choices. That's why I'm not indifferent for no reason. I'm indifferent because I think both are fantastic. Both are great.
And we're getting reports from the field that the vote has shifted to Allison anyway. So
okay, so that's perfect. Right. So yes, Taryn Armstrong live reporting live from the Blab chat room. Okay, so Allison Irwin is our choice here for manipulation skill, and that's actually I really like that one. That'll be fun. Okay. We've gotten through five categories here, and just to recap what we've got so far: tactical ability. We chose Steve Moses, right?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I had Amanda down here, and I was like, we did not choose Amanda. Okay. Steve Moses. General awareness. We chose Jack Owens. Likeability and personality. So this is our Frankenstein's voice, mannerisms, demeanor, DR sessions. We went with Nicole Franzel from BB16. The big upset from Alex Kidwell. Social strength. We went with, and much to the chagrin of Taryn and I, we went with Enzo, thanks to everybody getting upset over the constant mentions of Hayden Moss. Manipulation skill. We went with Allison Irwin. So Allison from Big Brother 4. And now we're at arguably the most important part of our Big Brother player, and that is the body,
the corpse,
Yes, that's right, the corpse. Who do we want to use as our body? And basically, how I looked at this is this is the body of a Frankenstein. This is what our Frankenstein is going to look like, and also this is how they're going to translate in competitions. This might help in terms of general intelligence. Although that's what Tara mentioned earlier. I personally did not think about that too much because really the brain has pretty much been made up so far. We're just using we're putting this brain that we created into this random person's
right,
body.
There's like a competition ability as far as mental goes that yes. I don't think we've covered so far.
I guess that's fair. But overall,
and I think the majority of competitions in Big Brother are more mental than physical, to be honest.
Okay, well, we can debate that. We can talk. But let's, in terms of what I went more so physical, I don't know where Brent and Alex were with that, but we can talk about it when we make our selections. Taryn, we know you're going to choose Hayden Moss, so I'll move on to the next person. Brent. Brent, who for your body do you have?
I feel like I've chosen the quintessential selection here. It's so funny because I absolutely hated this person during their season. I'm picking Frank Udy from Big Brother 14. I feel like he is a clear choice here. I feel like he is athletic enough that he's going to win the physical competitions that Big Brother occasionally has. I feel like he is agile enough that he can win some of the balance competitions and some of the, you know, like he did that one with the ball going up the thing where he had to, like, you know, move it from side to side, which had nothing to do with, you know, raw strength. And he's also a beast when it comes to mental competitions. He's a smart guy. So, I mean, I feel like he has all the traits. He could win literally almost any competition that you throw at him in Big Brother. He lost the Final Fight veto. Just, you know, he couldn't find the right disc there at the end, and he was out of the OTEV competition. But other than that, he was one of the people who was closest to literally winning his way to the end. I feel like he is a great person to have for the body here. And considering it's a corpse, he's also somebody I'd like to kill.
All right. Wow. Okay. Brent going with a man named Frank for our Frankenstein. So that's very, I like how you did that one, Brent. Definitely a physical specimen. Alex, who did you have in mind for your body?
So I had two people that immediately came to mind, and one was, as Brent mentioned, the offspring of WWE champion Psycho Sid, Frank Udy himself. Yeah, you know, it's in his genes, you know? I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he was either HOH or he won veto every week. Like, he's a great choice. And I went, you know, he was the first name that came to mind, and ultimately I'm going to go a different route only because Frank represents a huge target that will, like, people will go after him just because of his size. I don't know that this is necessarily true about the person I'm going to choose. I'm going to go with the bride of Frankenstein here. I'm going to go with Janelle.
Ooh, Janelle Perzina. Okay. And I don't think we need much explanation for Janelle. And whoa, look at this. You're getting approval from Netta in the chat, Alex. So good job. Good there sign. You go. Very good sign. So Janelle, why the choice of Janelle over some of these other huge physical beasts like Devin Bro?
Yeah, so I think if you're gonna pick like the biggest physical competitive specimen, then I definitely would have gone Frank, like Brent did. You know, that I think Frank trumps the Devins and the Howards and anyone else that maybe, you know, has the physique of a competitive entity. To me, the thing that sets Janelle just slightly above is that she brings that to the table without, you know, obviously if you've seen her play, you know she brings that to the table. If you've never seen her play, then you don't necessarily know that she's that dominant, that her fire, her will to win is that impressive. So she's someone that, like, you know, if her back's up against the wall, she's demonstrated multiple times the ability to save herself, you know, and all of the downsides are taken away in this instance because, like, Janelle is the kind of person that, you know, takes a step forward by winning a comp and then takes two steps back by alienating people with her celebrations or whatever comes after that. And we've removed the brain. So that's not a factor here. She's just going to, like, win the competition and then go into, like, standby mode, basically. And that's ideal. That's what we want.
And just to recap the stats. So Janelle, she had 2 HOHs, 2 POVs in Big Brother 6, 4 HOHs, 5 POVs in Big Brother 7.
Still holds the record for most individual wins in a season.
In a season, which is crazy. And if we go to Frank, he had 3 HOHs and 3 POVs in Big Brother 14. Taryn, you said you're not going with Hayden Moss. So who are you going with?
So initially, you know, Janelle was ineligible for me. And so I considered Frank and somebody else who I'll name. Frank, I believe, has the highest win percentage of probably anybody. He was either HOH or veto holder for a crazy number of weeks in a row. But the physique was really a factor for me because you can't have Frank without Frank's muscles. And that's always going to be a big target. So I do think Janelle has an edge over him. I initially went with Matt Hoffman because Ooh. I believe that he is very non-threatening, but great. He out endurance competitioned Rachel in season 12. He'd be great in the mental competitions. He has the intelligence to do that. Ultimately, though, I think Janelle is a better choice than Matt. But you know, Alex already picked Janelle, so I will go with probably my second choice after Janelle, which is Ian Terry, who I believe is a better version competition wise of Matt. He's unassuming. He's not threatening whatsoever. He can be good in the endurance competitions. He's great at the mental competitions, and he's even good at the skill competition. So I think Ian is probably second to Janelle, I think. because Janelle, like I said, without if she has the tactical ability to know not to win all the competitions that she can win, then she's in a great position to win when she needs to. And I think she's ultimately the person we should pick.
I like that choice as well. I think Ian is definitely better than Matt because he's got that small body type. He's good in these endurance competitions. And when he needs to win these mental ones, he can pull them out as well. For me, I had two names that came to mind. One, I personally despise this person. I said a few things on the live feeds about this person, and my whole family was getting death threats. But you cannot deny that Frankie Grande from Big Brother 16 is great at competitions, and he does not have the huge muscles that Frank Udy has. He is good in these comps. He won 5 HOHs. He's got dethroned for 2 of them. And he also won 3 power vetoes. So I think that Frankie is a really good, is somebody who at least deserves to be brought up. I think that he could do very well in these comps. And someone else as well. There's another couple other people. Yeah, there's Humberto in the chat was saying Aaron Grease from Big Brother 15. Yeah. I think Aaron, really good choice. She won 4 HOHs. Very impressive. And I think also another person that I also have a very soft spot for is Daniel Donato. Yeah. I think that Daniel Donato was so good in Big Brother 8 at winning competitions. She was awesome. And she's even smaller than Janelle. She's even nobody's going to look at her and say, oh, and look at her Frankenstein and be like, okay, here's this cute little girl. She's definitely a big competition threat. When in reality, she's a massive threat to win comps. She's very good at these competitions. She's very smart. I think that Danielle Donato, that's probably the one that, and I mentioned like 5 names there. I probably would go with Danny Donato the most just because of her size and the fact that she was still so, so freaking good. 2 HOHs and 5 POVs in Big Brother 8. I believe 5 POVs it's tied for the record with Janelle. So I think that she, I think Danielle would be a great one. Frank, I don't know where you guys want to go with this, but I'm also of the mindset with Taryn that we should probably choose somebody who's not physically imposing, because that is going to make them seem threatening. And if we're building the perfect Big Brother player, we don't really want them to be a huge threat. That's how I would look at it personally.
Yeah. And just very quickly, I think Rachel is also a good choice. And yes, for the ineligible people, I think Vanessa is a fantastic choice.
Yeah.
But Vanessa is a very good choice. I agree. James Ryan, people are talking about James Ryan, king of the veto, but again, very physically opposing. Yeah. And if we're going with just physical behemoths, give me Frank Udy over James Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay. Brent, what are you thinking? Who do you want to get rid of out of these 4?
Well, I mean, I'm in favor of Janelle probably at this point. Like I said in the chat, Janelle was on my list, but I did not say her because of all the hate I got from this panel when I picked Janelle for the best players to never win. So I didn't want to hear it again from you people. So yes, Janelle is a possibility. Who else do we have? Jordan, who did you say?
We had Janelle, Danny Donato, Ian Terry, and you chose Frank.
I'll go with Ian. I'll keep Ian and Janelle.
Ian and Janelle. Okay. Alex, who are you keeping?
You know, my 2 were Janelle and Frank, so I'd stick with that. I think if we're going male, it's got to be Frank. If we're going female, it's got to be Janelle. That's
okay.
My 2.
Okay. Taryn?
Ian and Janelle for me. And Janelle wins, so.
Ian and Janelle? Yeah. Okay. All right. Geez. We all are all over the place. But you know what? I think we're all in agreement for once that Janelle is probably the best out of all of these people, right? I think is that fair to say? If we're going into a season, we're taking BB7 Janelle, throwing her in there. Nobody's, without knowing anything, they're all going to be like, oh, she's not really a huge threat. When in actuality, she's a massive threat and we're going to destroy all of them.
Yes, we've reanimated her. We've extracted all the weaknesses and we've stuffed her brain full of Allison Irwin manipulation and Jack Owens awareness and all that good stuff.
Hayden Moss.
I think that Ian is close to Janelle. I think that Ian will beat Janelle in a lot of mental competitions. But Janelle's physicality, I think, outweighs that.
Yeah, and very good point.
Hot.
Yes, very good point by Netta Kalantar in the chat. yes, she's hot. That helps if you're attractive.
It's not enough.
If you, want, It's definitely not nothing. So there we go. Well, look at that, guys. We've built the perfect Big Brother player from spare parts from across the land. We have, yes, and that is how Janelle is going to be walking when she's in our house. So we have Janelle Persina's body, Nicole Franzel's personality, demeanor, mannerisms, and voice. We have the awareness of Jack Owens, the manipulation skill of Allison Irwin. We have the social strength of Enzo Palumbo, and we have the tactical ability of Steve Moses, all in one inside Janelle. I think that this has been a fun exercise, guys.
I'm picturing zombie Janelle sitting on the couch wearing an Enzo fedora with Jack Owens glasses and curly Steve Moses hair. Well, no, not hair. No, that's no longer attractive.
Can we say for the record that the majority of the panelists agree that Hayden would go in over Enzo?
Why don't you just go to
Hayden's house?
Because we're going to get blamed for this.
Okay. Hold on. Taryn, yes, I agree. Hayden should be in over Enzo. But we left it up to you, yes. Blab, and you guys said that. So
I'm just letting the record
been
show.
Shunned.
Yes. So, you know what? People are going to be, Taryn, I know what you're thinking. You're like, okay, well, people are just going to copy and paste this list, post it on Survivor Sucks, and they're going to rip us. And you know what? That's going to happen anyway. Who cares?
Excited for it.
So, who
yeah,
cares?
That happens Blab to me all spoken. The time. Come on.
Blab is spoken as yeah, Jorge
Brent, I bet they're going to be like, I bet Brent is the one that ruined this list.
Yes, exactly. That's what they say. For real. I know my people over there at Survivor Sucks.
But. Oh, they're the best. Shout out to Survivor Sucks. We love you very much. All right, guys. Any final thoughts you want to add on our Big Brother Frankenstein other than Taryn still being better over Hayden not being included?
Well, I will say I did come up with a list including the top people if anyone's interested in quickly hearing me lay it out.
Yeah, you know what? Why not? Let's hear it.
All right. So I think Janelle. Tactical, Vanessa for sure. Awareness, I have Derek. Personality of Hayden Moss. Social game of Andy Heron and manipulation of Dan Giesling.
Ooh.
And I know it's
not enough
missing,
Dr. Will.
It's missing Will Kirby. He's like second in almost all of those categories.
Yeah, I think
he's my Frankenstein.
Right? Me too, Alex. Me too. Well said. I'm just going Dr. Will. That's what I want. Dr. Will and Dan. And Derek, you know, I could go on a long thing, but maybe we need to do like a Big Brother Frankenstein, like next off season of like no restrictions, and we can do whoever we want. I think that would also be very fun.
And we should each draw them too and come with illustrations of what they would look like.
Yeah.
That would
be the best. Yeah. And for the record, could somebody please do a Photoshop if you are talented of this Frankenstein we've made? So if you could, please, and you have the time. Somehow Nicole Franzel, Janelle, Enzo, Steve Moses, and
Jack.
Jack, and who else did we have? Allison, all of them in one. If you could please do that and Photoshop that and tweet us and send it to us. If you got a lot of spare time in your hands, that would be amazing. I would love you forever. If I don't follow you on Twitter already, I'll give you a good old follow back and I'll retweet that.
They should put that in one of those face morph competitions in Big Brother.
They should. Yeah. I think so too. Okay, Alex, any final thoughts?
No, I don't think so. This actually ended up being kind of fun. I threw this out there as a ridiculous idea and I was like, oh no, they're going for it. I don't think so. But hey, it worked out, so I'm glad.
No, Alex, thank you for – we wouldn't have had the podcast without you, so thank you for throwing that out there. I think it was a wonderful idea, and it's been a lot of fun. Brent.
Watching Penny Dreadful. That was the problem. I was watching Penny Dreadful, and they're making Frankenstein, and we were talking about this stuff.
BB Frankenstein. There you go. Brent, you had work and didn't really go to work
The way it works in my job is that if you call in one day and then you call in the next day, it's only a half a point. So since I called in yesterday because of the massive snow that we had, like even though the snow is pretty much gone right now, I'm totally calling in tonight anyway.
I rarely
call in anyway. So it's like I would rather be here with you people and talking about Big Brother than going to my job that I work my fingers to the bone 8 hours a week.
Well, Brent, thank
it's
you.
It's hard being me.
I appreciate you taking the time to join us because it was a lot of fun having you on the panel again. And we need somebody to take that heat from the forums. And you're the master of taking it, Brent. So we appreciate it. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Again, reminder, next week, there is no live show for the happy hour. I will be talking and sitting down with Godfrey Manguiza, the Lady Pleasa from Big Brother Canada 3, to talk about his game, talk about what he's been up to, and just to talk about, he's a philosopher. So I want to get some of your personal life questions to Godfrey to see if he can help you out. So if you have a question for Godfrey, game-related or life-related, that you want him to help solve for you, please email me. My email is jparhar, that's jparharbbcan, so bbcan, @gmail.com. So please send me your questions for Godfrey. It is going to be a very fun show. Godfrey is probably the funniest guy from my cast of Big Brother. Very entertaining. I think it's going to be a great show. So definitely tune in and check that out. So no live show, none of these guys, but the week after that, 2 weeks from now, haven't locked down a date specifically yet, the Rankings podcast panel is going to be back. Everyone is going to be ranking the best Big Brother Canada players of all time. So that is going to be our show. It's going to be a very fun episode. I'm very much looking forward to it. But I personally will not be there because I have a wedding that I'm emceeing. So I will be preoccupied with that kind of stuff. So there will be a guest host filling in for me. And that is none other than the great Mike Bloom. He will be filling in for me. So Mike Bloom will be filling in for me. He will be hosting that episode. He will also be contributing his ranks because I can't contribute my ranks anyway because I'm biased, because I'm friends with a lot of these Big Brother Canada people. So should be a really fun time if Big Brother Canada is your thing. Big Brother Canada 4 is starting up soon. I figured that would be a very fun show for you guys. So I'm really excited for that one, to listen to it and to hear what these three and Mike have to say. It's going to be very fun. So first time I think in happy hour history that I have 2 weeks in advance already planned out. So I'm feeling very proud of myself.
There are a good 2 weeks, if I do say so myself. That God. Godfrey podcast sounds like the perfect Frankenstein podcast.
Yeah, no, it's
Godfrey talking
it's
about his game and giving life advice. Come on,
it's really the perfect podcast. I think it's going to be great. So I will send out a tweet with my email for you guys if you forgot that. So it's going to be good. I'm really, really pumped for that. Okay, guys, hashtag for this episode. I think hashtag Taryn loves Hayden. I think that's got to be it, right?
Sure.
I don't know. I think BB Frankenstein is a good one, and it's branding.
Hashtag BB Frankenstein?
Yeah.
I lean that way. I like that.
Okay, let's go with two hashtags. Hashtag BB Frankenstein and hashtag Taryn loves Hayden. I think those are fair. So tweet us after the show if you're watching it with us live, or if you're listening to this in the audio archives, tweet us and let us know what you thought. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Brent is at One Lucky Gay, and Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Don't forget to subscribe to the Rahappy Hour on iTunes. You can go to robhaswebsite.com/Rahappy Hour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. Or if you want to subscribe to Reality TV Rahap Ups, never miss any episodes of my show, The Bachelor Rahap Up, which I was on last week, which was very fun. So check that out if you haven't already. Brian and Allie do the Challenge podcast. There's tons of stuff on there. The Top Chef podcast. Go to robhaswebsite.com/Rahap Ups and you can get all of those shows. If you want to help us out as well, don't forget to leave a review. You can also do that by going to either of those links. Leave a review for my podcast or Reality TV Rahap Ups in general. That helps us out a lot. So I really appreciate that if you could go out and take the couple minutes it takes to do that for me. Thank you guys so much for joining me once again for another edition of the Happy Hour. Can't wait for the next one. Should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to talking to you guys soon. For Taryn Armstrong, Brent Wagamont, and Alex Kidwell, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag BB Frankenstein. Hashtag Taryn loves Hayden. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. Happy hour. Reality TV.